we suggested in the car, that that was just a din, that even though that there's no inyan of not learning lechavusa, what the Shulchan Aruch mentions is that you shouldn't really give a shir. And that's because of piersum. Like we saw, whenever something is, there's more piersum, what's permitted alone is, even though it's like, let's say, dvarim rayim, by yourself is mutter, but in a shir, unless it's b'gad rabin tzvichin lo is aser, because of piersum, and likewise davening for yourself is mutter, but to be the shliach tzibur isn't ideal because of piersum. We were miyashiv the minhag, but fundamentally. And then Shmuel suggested that maybe that din wouldn't apply on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is avelus derabim, and therefore the minhag is certainly to give shiurim. You could say that's rabim tzvichin lo, but perhaps even without that, and the like. And certainly then to learn the chavrus on Tisha B'Av would be should be okay.
Wasn't the Rav against giving shiurim?
Rav gave shiurim the whole morning.
Yeah, because people pressured him. He really didn't want to.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, there's no question, I think, that there's an inyan of being alone and by yourself and with your thoughts. And I will tell you from the experience of giving shiurim many years on Tisha B'Av, which is it does take away from that. Because you're always, maybe some people aren't like this. They're able to get above that. But I find that when I'm like trying to say things to other people, it's harder to reflect on them yourself. You're thinking about the presentation and you're not thinking about the tochen to the same degree. So I think, even for Avelus, regular Talmud Torah, forget Dvarim Rayim is mutter for Rabban Tzvichin Lo. So if Rabban Tzvichin Lo for Inyanei Avelus to help the Olam get into the mood, maybe the right thing is for the Rav to sacrifice himself a little bit for the Tzibur. But you're right, there's no question that it takes a little bit away. Okay.
What's the Inyan of Pearson?
So we thought, we gave a couple of sfaras we saw yesterday, either because it's Mesiach Das more, or it's contrary to the spirit of Avelus in general. Okay.
Why is it, though, that Shmuel was so sure that he felt strongly that Pearson doesn't apply during Tisha B'Av?
He wasn't so sure, but he noted that this din is incited.
I know.
It's Mestaber, but you're right, we weren't sure. But anyway, I think anyway you could make the argument that chavusa is not a lack of piercing, even though. Okay. Now, we started talking about yesterday at the very end of about Sheil Shalom. So we introduced the topic. We mentioned that there are three halachos. Now, they might not be three distinct halachos, but for purposes of clarity. Number one is that the avel himself may not be Shal B'Shalom. And that's a din in Hanig Dom. We saw that the Ritzvah, though, says even though he can't be Shalom Shalom, he can dip his head to hint to the Avelim to leave or the like. Then there is another din, that Acherim are not Shalom B'Shlomo. And that was Svara. It doesn't seem like it's a din in Hilvus Avelus, because it's upon other people. It's a Derech Eretz, that he's not Shalom B'Shalom, and therefore, it's not right to be Shal B'Shalom. Now, obviously, for this halacha, one has to figure out exactly what we mean by Shal B'Shalom. We're going to return to that question as well, because that is obviously a big deal in the poskim. But I'll mention a couple of points that are more pashut. L'chor it's pashut that even though you can't be Shal B'Shalom, you can't be Shal B'Shalom, you could give them a bracha, for example. We learn from Chumash that one is allowed to give a bracha to an Avel, because it says when Yaakov Avinu was in Avelus for his mother Rivka, so Hashem did Nicham Avelum and he gave him a bracha by Yar Elokim El Yaakov Od Vohomi Padan Aram, after his mother died by Yomer Lolokim, and he gave him a bracha. And that's why the post can say, you see from there, that you can give a bracha to an avel. In fact, that's, among other things, we say, And we do, like, you know, we say things like, you know, many people, when they leave an avel, they'll say things like, you know, we should meet by simchas or things like that. That those types of brachos are not bichlal sheol shalom.
Is there maybe shiv todah matator because it's a kaddish baruch hu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Likewise, the poskim says, Rav Yochanan Zonnenfeld said, if an avel gives birth to a child, you could say mazel tov. He says, maybe not. Maybe you'll say, it's not a mazel tov, right? He's saying, Rishai B'Shalom. So still, you could say mazel tov. So, this saying mazel tov, usually you wouldn't say mazel tov to an avel, but if it was appropriate. The point is, they're not, these types of brachos are not, not bechlal, this iser. And certainly, you know, after the Shiva, even though for the whole year, let's say, for someone being with avel on his parents, if someone is an avel for his parents, and, I don't know, their child gets engaged, so you could say mazel tov. And now, the question is, why? What is the reason for this din at all? What does it mean, since he's not shai b'shalom, so she'ela shalom is aser? Right? It's a very hard din for us to understand. And part of it relates to the ambiguity as to what she'ela shalom really is. So, for example, it's on a divrei sofer, and he says, well, maybe the pshat is that you shouldn't say shalom aleichem to an avel, because midas hadin misucha al ha'avel, and since Hashem caused him that the shalom is not with him, we shouldn't be mevarechem b'shalom, mekilu Hashem took away shalom, hu ein ashar b'shalom, so we shouldn't give him a bracha of shalom. If that's the pshat, so first of all, it's interesting, because we say that that's for 12 months, but the din of she'el shalom is only for 30 days, except for a parent. Okay, you could say follows that velos. But then he says, if that's the pshat, so the Ramo says maybe we could be makel if you don't do shalom aleichem b'kriya, right? We'll see the darky motion in a moment. You don't bow when you say shalom aleichem. So if you learn like that, so obviously that's not the pshat, because what difference does it make if you say it's wrong to say shalom aleichem because he's not b'shalom? If the problem is giving him a bracha of shalom because he's not b'shalom, so what difference does it make if you do it b'kriya or you don't do it b'kriya? Right? Either way, it should be the same. So maybe you'll say, no, it's a different pshat, that because he's Eino Shai B'Shalom, you shouldn't be miskayev elav with so much kirv das. And then the Rama is saying, yeah, so the reason for our kulas are because we don't have so much kirv das in our shalom aleichems. Now, this is also very hard for me to understand, because L'maisa, for example, we do Nicham Avel, and we do lots of things of Kirav Hadas. Right? We dafka, you're going to say you can't give somebody is an Avelus, so you can't give them a hug? Right? I don't know if we find such a thing. We'll have to see, because again, a number of Achronim do extend this into seemingly other examples of Kirav Das, like Shalf Manos. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. So it's very hard, and we'll go back to this question in a couple minutes, but very hard to understand what exactly this din means, that hu eino shar b'shalom, and therefore it's aser to do she'ela shalom. Is it because it's mean to say, like, how you doing? You know, nowadays most people, when they say how you doing, they don't really want an answer. It's just like something that you say. And it's saying, well, don't say how you doing because he's not shai b'shalom. But I don't know, what if you're trying to make him feel better and you ask him genuinely, how are you feeling? Is that a problem? So this din is very unclear. Vitzal, you're going to say something?
Yeah, two things. One, I kind of want to know the nimuk that the Torah gives of shu eino shari b'shalom.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the Makor for that?
That's a Gemara.
Eino shari. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, the Pashas, the she'ela shalom, is all, it's the greeting, meaning forgetting reason. But the thing that's also is,
well, we say it's not just a greeting, because we say, for example, the Gemara explicitly says that an exception to she'ela shalom is Rabbi Akiva, who, when, because of the Rabbim, that when they left, he gave them a nice little speech. Or maybe he said shalom. That's going to be the question. What was exactly the problem? But it wasn't a greeting. That was the opposite of a greeting. That was when they were leaving.
Okay. Either way, but meaning not tough conversation.
Maybe that's true. But the question is, why should that be? In other words, let's say saying goodbye in a particular way is a violation, which is what you see from that story.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? What's wrong with that? Just because he's Enosh Shai B'Shalom, I can't say goodbye in a particular way? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Because
what?
When you're saying, oh, who says friendliness is an issue, hooray, you're allowed to give him a hug. Who says it's rude to ask him how he's doing? I agree to that chiluk,
but why should that be? In other words, what's so bad about the greeting?
It's bringing up something pleasant in a flippant way, as if pleasantness is such a pasha thing. Like when you just pass him on the street and say, hey, how are you doing? You mean, we're all in good moods, we're all saying hello, whatever. When, I mean, that's much different. Or when you say, how are you doing? Meaning,
saying,
it's very
painful. So I really appreciated your coming here, made me feel better. Thank you. So, that's a problem.
You're saying at the end of the...
That's the story of Rabbi Akiva. But what was it that Rabbi Akiva said that made it usher, except that there was this special cool? Now, that could be different. The Pasha Pshat is that it's nothing to do with this, right? The Pasha Pshat is I'm pulling a fast one on you. What I'm saying makes no sense. Because Rabbi Akiva was during Shiva, and that wasn't Sheol Shalom to the Avel, that was Sheol Shalom from the Avel to the other people. And that's a din in Hanigdol. So Lahore, I have no raya from Rabbi Akiva whatsoever. The problem with all this is the Ramah asks Akasha from Rabbi Akiva, which Lahore doesn't make any sense. Because the two dinim have nothing to do with each other, right? That's what's so confusing with all this. If you would have asked me, I would have said there are two dinim, they have nothing to do with each other. One din is Ein Shalom B'Shalom Shal Avel, right? That applies all 12 months. That's because Huayin Oshar B'Shalom, it's not a din Halchas Velos. Then there's another din, that the Avel can't be Shal Shalom Cherim, that's a din in Hanikdom. That would be Aser because of, that's a din in Hanikdom. So really what Rabbi Akiva did was wrong, would have been wrong if it wasn't for the special Rabbim. Kamash Mullah, no, because it's the Rabbim, it was Mutter, right? But if that's the pshat, which is certainly what I would have, what I thought, until I saw the Ramah starts being mashva b'nayim, right? That which gets you even more confused.
The context of the Ramah is in the Sheol Shalom.
But if one is a din in Hanigdom and one is a din in Huayin Oshar B'Shalom, and they have nothing to do with each other, that's when I saw the tour and I saw the Ramban, who sort of explains that chiluk. That was my impression. My impression is these are two dinim that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they share one commonality, which is we call it Sheol Shalom.
Yeah.
But really, they're fundamentally unrelated, right? One is a din in the Avel, Hanigdom, and that's why, because it's a din in silence, so we understand why Rabbi Akiva's beautiful little speech would have been wrong, right? Except it was an exception. But then, and then there's another din, Ein Shalom B'Shalom, but the problem is the Ramah asks Akasha from one unto the other.
Kasha within the Hanikdom?
No! Look what he says. He's talking about what is permitted to be Shalom B'Shalom Ha'avel. And he brings a Rai from there. We'll get there. Okay. Now the third halacha, and so far we have two, the third halacha, which is probably a prat in the first din, but is that if someone's in Avel and somebody's Shol B'Shlomo, so then there's a chiluk between Toch Gimel and Achar Gimel. Toch Gimel, we say that you shouldn't be Meshiv, you should just say you're in Avel, and Achar Gimel, you could be Meshiv. L'chora, this is a pshat, as I said, this is really a prat in the first halacha of Hanikdom. And we're more machmir during the first 3 days because they're Yamim Shel Bechi, or the Yushalmi says the soul is hovering, or whatever it is. And the chiluk is Kain, Kain, what we say for Kriya Shema, right? We're more machmir, someone Nishol B'Shlomo Be'emtza Perek than Be'na Prakim. So we're a little more machmir on Hanikdom in the first 3 days than afterwards. And that's why after 3 days it's Mutter L'Hashiv Lahem. Right? L'Hashiv Lahem L'Chorah means to say Shalom. Right? We have a similar thing in Taf Kuf Nun Dalet. This is just a dimyon. In other words, why is it that we're more a little more makel after the first 3 days? The pshat is that we've seen a number of areas where Hilchos Avelos is a little more more kal after the first 3 days. So this really, it's wrong for him to be meshiv, but if they don't know, so we're, because it's not nice to not respond, so since during the first 3 days we're more machmir, so we say you shouldn't respond, just say I'm sorry, I'm an avel. And then after the first 3 days we're a little more kal, so we say it's okay to respond shalom. In Hilchos Tisha B'Av, since in Yana D'Yomansim and Tafkuf Nandalit, it says that the Hadyotos that don't know She'en Shalom B'Shalom B'Tisha B'Av. So then Meshivin Lahan B'Safa Rafa V'Kovid Rosh. Now in Hilchos Avel we don't say that. That halach isn't mentioned, because in Hilchos Avel the point is he doesn't know you're an Avel. In Tisha B'Av everybody's an Avel. So we're Meshiv B'Safa Rafa V'Kovid Rosh, if they understand that Taka, you know, this isn't the way you're supposed to act on Tisha B'Av.
You thought that even after the first 3 days when you answer them, it should be V'Kovid Rosh.
Yeah, so that halach is not mentioned. It just says Meshiv Lahem, sounds like you could just say Shalom back to him.
Okay.
If you want to say that, you can, but the Shulchan Aruch, the Poskim don't mention that, and I'm explaining the difference. Fine. So, again, what we're saying is that the Pashup Shad is, we'll put din number three back with din number one. So we'll just say there's really two dinim, right? And that's what I would have thought until I got to the Ramah. The Ramah seems to begin conflating them. Because again, let's just remember what the Ramah said and then we'll try to be miyashev, right? The Ramah writes that they're mekilim ha'idna b'sheilas shalom ha'avel. The Darkei Moshe says that's la'achar zayin. And in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, he writes la'achar shloshim for avi v'imo. It's sort of interesting that he changes it a little bit, right? But the point is that la'achar shiva, when there's no more din of hanikdom and the like, so then we're more meikil. And he says, you know, what's the basis for that which we're noeg l'hakal? So he says, maybe it's because of she'el shalom shalayom is not the she'el shalom of the Gemara times. So what does that mean? So he tells you a hint. What's the hint? Look at Simon Peites and Or Chaim. Okay? We'll get there in a second. But then he says, oh, but this is shver, because the story of Rabbi Akiva. Now again, what kind of question is it from the story of Rabbi Akiva? That was the opposite din. That was din number two. This is din number one. Okay, so we have to answer that question, right? For some reason, the Ramah seems to be mashva b'neim.
You can be making. He's talking about din number one, greeting people.
No, he's talking about din number two, because din number one doesn't exist l'achar shiva. Right? There's no din of hanigdom. He's saying that the velt is make l'achar shloshim, right? What is the basis? Because our she'el shalom is different. Now, that means the belt is mekel in din number two, right? But he says this chiluk is shver from the story of Rabbi Akiva. But one second, the story of Rabbi Akiva was din number one. So he's asking a kasha on his chiluk within din number two from din number one. That's the question that I'm asking. You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. The Magen Avraham says that the chiluk of the Ramah is the following. Now, what exactly does the Ramah mean when he says that there's a difference between the she'el shalom of the Talmudic times and the she'el shalom of the Zman Hazeh? So the Magen Avraham says, what's the pshat in the Ramah? That in those days they said, they didn't just say shalom aleichem, but it was derech she'ela, right? Like we say, she'ela shalom. It's not just, oh, shalom aleichem, how you doing? Right? Maybe that was she'ela. Shalom aleichem. Morning, shalom aleichem. That was derech, that's the way we do it, not derech she'ela. And in the times of the Gemara, it was derech she'ela. That's the way Magen Avraham understands the Ramah. But then he asks two questions on the Ramah. Number one is the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that they just said Shalom Aleichem. It wasn't Derech She'ela. Number two is that you see in the Gemara that the Shalom Aleichem of the Shas was also just a statement, even from the Bavli, because it says, what does it mean when we say Toch Kedei Dibor? Kedei She'ela Shalom. What's Kedei She'ela Shalom? Right. There's no... That's just Shalom Aleichem Rabbi. So you see, that their Shalom Aleichem is the same thing as our Shalom Aleichem. So the Magen Avraham says, I don't know what the Ramah is talking about. It's not true. Even Bizmanehem, it was the same thing as we said. Ah. Now, and therefore he says, you see from the Gemara, that every Shalom Aleichem is Aser, right? Unlike what the Ramah writes. That's what the Magen Avraham asks on the Ramah. Now, L'chora, what you see from the questions is that the Magen Avraham misunderstood the Ramah. Right? There is a different difference. And there's another raya, or problem, for the Magen Avraham, because the Darkei Moshe writes over here specifically, he says, look what I wrote in Simen Pei Tes, right? Kemoshe Arachti v'Simen Pei Tes. So if you look at his Arichos in Simen Pei Tes, he writes over there that basically it's Talui in the Shem Hashem, right? That's a sugi over there. Sugi over there is talking about before Shachris. If you look, for example, at the Shulchan Aruch over there in Sif Peh, Sif Beis, he writes, Kevin Shigia Adman Tvila, Asur L'Adam L'Hakdim L'Pesach Chaver L'Itein Lo Shalom, Mishum D'Shmos L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalom. Now there's a problem over there in Simen Pei Tes, is the usage of the word shalom, which is a Shem Hashem, avol mutar lomer lo tzafra ta demaritava. In other words, what are you allowed to do? What does it say in Simen Pei Tes? You're allowed to say good morning, you just can't say shalom aleichem. And if you look at the Darkei Moshe over there in Simen Pei Tes, he writes, even, he writes additional kulas. He says, well, maybe even shalom aleichem is mutar. Why? It's dafka prisa shalom aide kriya. They used to bow shalom aleichem. But if we just say Shalom Aleichem without Kriyat Mutter, and maybe it's Dafka, because again, that's more of a chutzpah to go around bowing to people, using the Shem Hashem, not to Hashem before Shacharis. And then he says, maybe it's Dafka if you're Mazkir Shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Dafka Tzafra Tava. Now, what you see though, from the Magen Avraham's referencing Simen Pei Tes, is that his chiluk is rooted in what? Not in the way the Magen Avraham says it, she'ela shalom, question versus statement, but greeting versus question, but rather the difference is usage of the word shalom. That's the problem. And that's what leads the El Yeraba to say, no, the Magen Avraham misunderstood the Ramah, and the Ramah was saying that what changed, that was Dafka Bizman HaTalmud, when they used the word shalom, but nowadays, when we don't use the word shalom, it's okay. Now, what was the Ramah basically saying, according to El Yeraba, that during the Avelos, let's say, Yud Beis Chodesh, if a person sees an Avel, they're allowed to say good morning. The one thing you can't do is use the word shalom. And that's what he means, nowadays it's different, and that's why he sends you to Simen Pei Tes. And perhaps, based off of what the Darkei Moshe writes in Pei Tes, maybe it would even be mutter to say shalom, as long as you didn't bow in the light, depending on which aspect of Pei Tes you choose to carry over. That's the way.
Pei Tes doesn't mention bowing?
In Simen Pei Tes he does, in the Darkei Moshe. In the Darkei Moshe. And he writes Ein Mash, over here, Ein Mash Arachti, Simen Pei Tes, Arachti is in the Darkei Moshe over there in Pei Tes. So, and that's where he makes the chiluk of. So in the Shulchan Aruch, that isn't mentioned, but in the Darkei Moshe it is. So again, the question is how far you take it. It's going to be more pasha to say good morning. It's a little less pashut, but also within the realm of possibilities to say Shalom Aleichem without bowing.
Why would you assume that it would be forbidden if you're not bowing?
Ah, so that's the obvious question. The obvious question is like this, which is two questions. Number one is, what's wrong with using the Shem Hashem? There's, why is that so important, or bowing and the like? I understand that din as being halacha before Shacharis, right? There's a remarkable chiddush, we're allowed to use the Shem Hashem in greeting our friends. Beautiful. Wonderful. So, but we understand that to do that before you first use the Shem Hashem to greet Hashem is aser. And that's why the poskim say, well, maybe there's a chiluk if you already started davening, let's say you said brachos, or you'd say you do kriya or this or that. Those chilukim all make a lot of sense. But that l'chora should have nothing to do with us, right? What does this have to do with hu'eino shari b'shalom? Remember, that's the makor for this din. With the reason why you can greet the Avel, whatever it means, Shela Shalom to the Avel is because Huayna Shalom Shalom. Why should that be similar to the din of greeting your friends before Shacharis? L'chora, the din aren't related. In other words, the svara of the Magen Avraham made a lot of sense. That's why the Magen Avraham didn't learn this way. The Magen Avraham presumably didn't say it like this because he thought it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense we should compare this to the halachos of before Shacharis. It makes more sense to say that when the Ramah said the difference between Bizman HaGemara and Bizman HaZeh is whether, what, you know, is it a she'ela or is it just a greeting? But the Magen Avraham is very difficult for the three questions that we asked. Elamai, it seems like the Ramah is saying like the Eli Rabba, but the question is, why does that make any sense? What's the logic? Why should there be a difference between, why should this halacha be similar to the halacha of greetings before tefillah? That's the question. Another question on the Eli Rabba is like this. Why was the Ramah bothered by the story of Rabbi Akiva? Remember, what the Ramah said is chiluk, and then he said, oh, but the story of Rabbi Akiva undermines my chiluk. Why? Over there, Rabbi Akiva used the word shalom. So that's gevaldik for his chiluk. Right? What's his whole chiluk? That the only, according to Eli Rabba, when is it asr? When you use the word shalom. When is it mutter? You don't use the word shalom. Nowadays we don't use the word shalom, therefore it's mutter. So if that's true, so it makes perfect sense why in the story of Rabbi Akiva it was would stim with his theory. Because since Rabbi Akiva used the word shalom, so it should have been aser, and that's the only reason why they were makel in that story of Rabbi Akiva is because of what? Because of kavod tzibur, kavod rabbim, right? But if you learn, like the Eli Rabba, that the problem is the word shalom, the shem Hashem, so then Rabbi Akiva is not a kasha, it's a raya. But the Ramah obviously held that Rabbi Akiva was a kasha on himself, right? The story of Rabbi Akiva undermines his theory. According to Eli Rabba, it supports his theory. So, the Eli Rabba is also wrong. So now we're stuck. We have no pshat, right? Let's summarize. So far we have two pshatim in what the Ramah said is a chiluk. The Ramah said, even though the Gemara says for all 12 months, you're not allowed to say, Bishal Shalom of an Avel on his parents. The Ramah said, one second, we're Meikil Bizman HaZeh, how do you explain our leniency? He says, oh, our Shel Shalom is different. Question, why is it different? Magen Avraham, is it a She'ela or is it a statement? Okay? Slug that up. Upshot two, Eli Rabba. The question is, do you use the word Shalom or not? That is also a problem because then why is Rabbi Akiva Akasha on this Chiluk? Oh. So, I thought that Shmuel had a very nice pshat here. Shmuel wanted to be miyashev the Eli Rabba and say like this. There's a difference between, well, we'll say like this. When I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, so what do I mean? So it could mean two different things. It could mean God should be with you, or it could mean you should be b'shalom, go in peace, right? Come in peace, go in peace, right? What does the word shalom mean? So, said the pshat is that Shalom Aleichem means God should be with you. And Ke'en, what we see in the Gemara says that Hiskinu She Adam Shoel Es Shalom Chavero B'Shem Shenamar V'Hinei Boaz Ba Mi Beis Lechem V'Yomer Lekotzrim Hashem Yimachem V'Yomer Lo Yivarachecha Hashem. That was Shem Hashem. Right? In other words, it's a chiddush. Rashi points out over there in that Gemara that it's a double chiddush. One chiddush is that it's mutter, and two, it sounds like it's a takana, hiskinu she'adam shal shalom chaver b'shem, right? That there's a chiddush, that you're allowed to use the shem Hashem to, when you're shal b'shalom chavero, right? Hashem imachem! It's not a question, it's a bracha. Shela Shalom seems like it's a bracha. Hashem Yimachem! And, you know, we say Hashem Yimachem maybe, but Boaz didn't say Hashem Yimachem. Boaz said the Shem Hashem. So you see. Oh.
He's on the way, we don't even see it.
So apparently, the way the Ramah seems to have learned, if you learn like the Eli Rabba, which is, I think, the only pshat I understand, is that when you say Shalom Aleichem, it's like saying Hashem Yimachem. It's the same thing. Shalom Aleichem. We don't mean peace unto you. We mean Hashem Imachem. That's what we mean. Ah. So now we have an understanding why the Rama was bothered by the story of Rabbi Akiva. Because in the story of Rabbi Akiva, he gave his whole beautiful speech, and then he said, L'chu l'shalom, or something like that. In that case, L'chu l'shalom doesn't means what? Go in peace. So is that a violation, according to his theory, that it's only usher when you use the Shem Hashem, is that a violation? No. Right? No, it's not.
It meant peace there.
There means peace. And yet the Gemara calls it Shel Shalom. The Gemara says it's only mutter if what?
Shem Hashem.
So, and yet that Gemara, they didn't use Shem Hashem and it was still usher. It was only mutter al kavod tzibur. So the Rama, that's why he thinks that story of Rabbi Akiva is a kash on him. It's true he used shalom, but there's a difference between l'chul shalom, which is go in peace, versus shalom aleichem, which is Hashem imachem. And that's why the Rama thought that his pshat is undermined, or at least somewhat refuted, from the Ma'aseh of Rabbi Akiva. The Ma'aseh of Rabbi Akiva shows you that even if you don't use the Shem Hashem, it's still a problem. Now, even though this is what the Rama writes, it seems also clear from the Rama that it's not just a din in Shem Hashem. For example, the Rama writes, he adds to this din, that you shouldn't be shaleach manos to the avel, right? Just like you shouldn't say shalom aleichem or whatever to the avel for 12 months, you shouldn't send him manos. Now, obviously, that has nothing to do with the Shem Hashem. That has nothing to do with the mila shalom. L'chora, that has to be a din in kiyum das. But the pshat is l'chora, is that the Rama himself writes that this yishuv is dofak, right? Because even though the Rama writes that maybe this is the pshat in the yishuv for the island being mako, he's not so excited about this yishuv. Like, he notes as a question. He's trying to be matzdik the minuk. And that's why perhaps he limits it. That's why he's only, and at least in the Shulchan Aruch, he's only matzdik this minug l'achar shloshim for aviv imo. Maybe, in the Darkei Moshe, he says l'achar shiva. Maybe he was choser a little. I'm not sure how to explain the change. But it still seems that even after the Rama cites this kula, he's not saying l'chatzchila one should be somech on this heter. So you still shouldn't l'chatzchila go to Avelim and say to them shalom aleichem. Rather, it's a shtickle. It's a limud tchus. Now, if that's true, so then what comes out is a humongous chumrah, right? Which is the Rama says that we have a limud tchus to say good morning, to say tzafer de maratava, right? That's a limud tchus, and even that he doesn't like. And kol shekin, you shouldn't say shalom aleichem. So it would come out if we stop here that you shouldn't say shalom aleichem to an avel. Tochiyad beis chodesh for his parents, and you shouldn't even say good morning, because the limud chos was to batir good morning, and even that he doesn't like so much because he has a kasha from Rabbi Akiva, right? So does that mean you can't say anything to him? I mean, I guess you could nod your head to him, but nothing more. So tzarch ian, but lemaisa the taz. Taz not over here in Orachayim, in the Prima Gadim, and some other Achronim write that we're knowing to be Mekel for Tzafra Tava. So L'chatchila, I think, L'maisa, you shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem. Again, L'chatchila. But to say good morning or other greetings, then Boker Tov. So I think the Minag is to be Mekel. Though we see it's not so pashut, right? Because according to the Elia Rabba's yishuv of the Rama, that's only that's not ideal. That's a limud tchus. It's not ideal, but I still think I think that's that that's what we do. And that's because when you say good morning, there's like two chasronos. Number one is it doesn't have the word shalom. Two is there's not so much kirav das. It's not, there's no she'ela. I guess if you want to have the Magen Avraham, there's no questions. And there's not so much kirav das. It's a very, it's not like, even though we're machmir, not to send them manos or the like. That's because there's a lot of kirav das in sending manos to your friends. But to just say good morning to somebody, you say good morning to anybody, right? You should liolam, you should be makdim everybody for shalom. So that being the case, because A, you lack the word shalom, and B, there's not much kirav das, that's why the minhag is to be makel. So one question, yeah.
Could you just explain again, why is it that you said that it's only a limud zchut to greet someone with good morning? Again, Eliyahu Rabbah's his tirutz from Rabbi Akiva sounds like...
No, the Eliyahu Rabbah says like this. What did the Rama say? We're mechalik between Shalom Aleichem of Chazal, where you use the word shalom, and that's aser, versus the way we greet people, which is good morning, and that's mutter. And even on that yishuv, the Rama said, but it's shver, because it's contradicted by the story of Rabbi Akiva, and it's only mutaris limitzchus. So that means ideally you shouldn't even say good morning.
Sorry.
Got it?
Yeah.
But I still think that the minhag, even though, again, you can make that case that the minhag is to be makel to say good morning, you shouldn't say more than that.
It's
good Shabbos, good morning. What?
Taz and Peitas?
No, I think the Taz is in Tuf Reish Tzadi Vav.
By Purim.
Yeah, when he talks about Shalt Manos. I don't remember, is it by Tisha B'Av, by Purim, or by Peitas? No, I forgot already. I have to check. So one of the Taz is in, the Taz is in Or Chaim, I remember that. I forgot which one it was in.
It's ironic, meaning the Taz, by all means, of all the Acharonim, takes the Ramaz, when the Ramaz says Lo Nihira or whatever, Ein Tam Lahem, he takes that very, very seriously. He's Machmer on giving Shalach Manos on Shabbos, meaning like the Magen Avraham.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but yes.
So
yeah.
He's only being Makil for saying good morning, not for
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. The Taz writes, I think the Taz says that the minhag is to be Makil to say good morning, Tzafer Tapa, or whatever it is. Okay. Now, one question that comes up is Kiddush Levana. What does an Aval do during Kiddush Levana? Because the minhag is Shalom Aleichem. So technically speaking, the Aval could go to other people and say Shalom Aleichem. But the problem is they're probably going to say back to him Aleichem Shalom, which is Aser. Toch Yud Beis Chodesh. Right? So what's it in? I think Rabbi Sobolowski said he didn't, when he was in Avel, he didn't know what to do. He didn't see anyone that said anything, and he said he skipped it. I think that's what he said on the tapes. That's fine with listening to the tapes there, Chagav. But I think that's what he said. Anyway, I saw the Divrei Sofrim on page Tuf Kuf Tes write that it's okay. Why? Because what's the minhag for saying Shalom Aleichem? It's because you just said Tipol Alei Mimasa Fachad, right? So you don't want the guy standing next to you to think you just cursed him out. And so you say, no, not you, Shalom Aleichem. It's okay. So saying that's so that's, he said that's not the Gedder Shela Shalom that we're talking about here. That's like, don't worry, I didn't want to knock you out. Yeah, but I think that's what the Magen Avraham says.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we say it. Okay. Fine. Okay. Sif Beis. Tanchumin. So the Gemara Katan, Chaf Aleph, according to Shulchan Aruch says, Ad Shloshim Yom, Medaber Imo Tanchumin. La'achar Shloshim Yom, Medaber Imo Menatzad. Sheinu Mazkir Sheim Ameis, El Omer Tesnachim. Right, Agav, you see an important thing, which is, sometimes a person forgets to or doesn't get around to making a Shiva call or the like, and you see a person, let's say, several months after you see a person and they lost a relative, so what should you do? So the answer is you should still say Tesnachim. It's not like it's over. You see someone who lost a brother 5 months ago, you haven't seen him for 5 months, you're not so close to him, you didn't make a Shiva call, so you should still say Tesnachim, or the equivalent.
Even though he doesn't have any, I mean, it's one thing for your parents if you go and tell them it's anyone who just says
so. That's what it says. Av v'imo, Menachem Kedako Ad Yedvias Chodesh. For Av v'imo, then it's more. Then you do, again, it's not Menachem Kedako, like they're not sitting on the floor, but if you meet the person, you should fully comfort them. That's, and then we say, V'ishto, Im Nasa Isha Chadasha, Lo Yikanis Levesa L'Nachamo, because that would be possibly offensive to his new wife. Ela, Im Matzau B'Shuk, Omer Tisnachem, and then, but if Lo Nasa, if he hasn't remarried, so then, Menachem Oso Kedarko Achiyafu Gimel Galim. We'll talk about Gimel Galim a little bit later in terms of when a person's allowed to get remarried, but that's where the Gimel Galim comes from, that after 3 years Galim, under normal circumstances, there are exceptions like Puravu and the like, but in normal circumstances, somebody shouldn't get remarried until Gimel Galim. And L'chor, the idea is that a person is especially sad after losing one's wife. Okay, then we have Sif Gimel, we talk about Shabbos. So, Yushalmi writes that Makom Shenagim Lishol B'Shalom Avelim B'Shabbos Shalom. There's two different minhagim, and you should follow the minhag that's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch as well. And then there's another din. Chor, it's not the same din that's quoted by the Rambam also in the Shulchan Aruch, that an Avel is no sin Shalom Chol Adam B'Shabbos. Why? Because that's Svarim Shabbat Farhesia. In other words, should you greet the Avel on Shabbos by saying Shalom Aleichem? So that, the Yerushalmi says, is Tali Neminog. That's not a din in Hochus Avelos, because that's not on the Avel, it's on the other person. Follow the Minog. In terms of the Avel, let's say he's sitting Shiva, should he say Shalom Aleichem to other people? So if he would be quiet, he meets someone and he's not, doesn't say Shalom, that would be Avelos Befarhes. Yeah, and that he should do. That's what the Rambam writes. Okay. Then we have this very interesting idea of l'shloach manos. So, from the Gemara, until you get to the Maril, we know is Sheila Shalom, that's it. The din is not expanded beyond Sheila Shalom. Whatever exactly Sheila Shalom means, that's what we discussed, but that's it. So the Rama quotes the Maril that says, no, asr l'shloach matanos l'avel kol yud beis chodesh shal aviv ima. What about on Shabbos? It's totally what you think the din is by Shabbos. If you follow, Yushalmi says, there's two customs as to whether you should shal b'shalom aveilim on Shabbos. So if you think yes, so then you can give him shalach manos on Shabbos. When you say shalach manos, not perm shalach manos. Give him, and if not, not. Good. Now, where is this coming from? What's the basis for this? So the Maril writes, when he makes up this halacha, he writes, Eim l'cha shel shalom gadol mizat. So, the truth is, what the Maril is talking about is itself not so clear. He talks about limzog. But the Rama understood that it means nesinas manos. Now, so what's the...
Limzog? Like
yeah.
Wine?
Yeah. Oh. That's a lashon in Maril.
So why does the Maril interpret it that way?
I'm not sure. Maybe it means like a special type of like cup of wine you would give someone that's equivalent to shalach manos. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know how the Raman knew that when the Maril said you shouldn't do limzog, that meant l'shalach l'manos. I don't know if that's translation of the word, and I just don't know what he means, or it's equivalent. He's talking about a certain type of giving over a cup of wine, and the equivalent is this. Anyway, so what's the pshat? So l'chor, the pshat is that it's the problem with being shalom b'shalom is not the word shalom, it's some type of kirv das. And that's what the Maril writes. Ein l'cha she'la shalom gadol mizeh. Meaning to say, there's a lot more kirv das for giving somebody a gift than saying shalom aleichem. So if we're going to say that saying shalom aleichem is asr kol yud beis chodesh, so certainly giving them a gift is kol shekein is going to be asr.
So one would avoid this issue if he made an anonymous gift?
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. But yes, correct. If you know, when somebody gives stuck anonymously, let's say, or the like, so that would certainly not be bechlal this. Now, that's step one here. We're going to see there's two two giant leaps from the Maril to expand this din incredibly. But you had a question first, or? Okay.
Why are we assuming two da'as to be to one specific person, not to like the general Kali Yisrael? I mean, now he likes whoever brought drop up the gift. He knows it's from, you know, someone.
I think the point is that it, just like Sheol Shalom is not anonymous, it's between the two people. And saying,
well,
you're
assuming also the Sheol Shalom, if you didn't know who it was coming from, that would be permitted. Well, also, that might be possible.
So yeah. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think that.
I just think there was that would be.
I understand. So I think the Pashtus is against your devil. I think the Pashtus is that the reason why he thought to extrapolate from Sheol Shalom to being Shalech Manos is because he saw this as a form of Kirv Das. Now, again, you know, Rav Moshe, we already had that tshuva that we talked about when we did Nichum Avelim, pointed out that this din is very contextual, right? Because the very same gift during the Shiva, we would say is mutter, right? When people go ahead and send fruit platters to an avel. Okay? That's mutter. Why? That's not Sheol Shalom. That's Nichum Avelim. And then the next week, you send that same fruit platter, and it's usher, right? It's not the pshat that the shiva is more kal than shloshim. The pshat is, like Rav Moshe said, that it's not the nesinas mana per se that's the usher. It's the context. So when you give a fruit platter to an avel, what's the context? It's like havra, right? It's helping them out. And it has one message. When you give a gift the rest of the year, it has a different context. And that context is what creates the problem. Okay, so that's step one. The Bach then says that it's aser l'shloach l'achir. Meaning to say, not only can you not give the gift to the avel, that makes sense, but the avel can't give to other people. Now, this is very, very hard to understand. Why? Because an avel is mutter to be shoel b'shlom acherim. Right? The whole idea was that you can't be shoel b'shlom the avel, because huen ushar b'shalom, but the avel could be shoel b'shlom acherim, because acherim ashurim b'shalom. So, I understand the din of the maril, but what's the... I don't understand the idea of the bach at all. And, right, the Taz also, Sifkat Nalef, quotes this bach, and he writes, avel kol shloshim, for other relatives, or yud beis chodesh avi v'imo, is aser lahazmin acherim, o lehizamein im acherim, a third jump. Right? The bach extended this to gifts, and now the Taz extends it to invitations.
The invitations are also in the Bach.
The invitations are also in the Bach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quoting Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So the Bach just has that little shaila of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? He said he asked his Rabbi this question.
That's about invitations. The shaila from Rabbi Yehuda is about invitations.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought I looked it up and I just remembered.
Him giving gifts is his own thing.
Okay, I'll double check and remember. So basically, one way or the other, then there are three jumps, right? The Chiddush of the Maril is a huge jump because he jumps from Sheila Shalom to gifts. And I would have just said that Chiddush only means you can't send the Avel gifts, but the Avel could send other people gifts. And then we have the two jumps of the Bach / Taz of. The Bach, by the way, is not here. It's in Shin Pei Tes. Now you might have thought that the Bach is not even talking about Sheol Shalom, but the Taz understood that it's a different issue. Maybe it's a different problem. But the Taz, from the context of that Bach, understood it's talking about Sheol Shalom. So the Bach extends it, A, to invitations, and B, not, you know, B, we have the Bach and the Taz, that it's true in both directions. So we pointed out yesterday that these jumps are big chidushim. They're not so pashut. So many poskim, in terms of invitations at least, usually gifts is not necessary, but in terms of invitations, especially Shabbos invitations and the like, so it's a big mitzvah to invite Shabbos guests. Imagine there's a bachur in yeshiva, and Nebuchadnezzar, he loses a parent, and until that point, he always enjoyed going out to meals by his friends and the like, and now all of a sudden, like, okay, just to, like, eat alone every Shabbos? You're going to make him, that's horrible. So first of all, anyway, we saw that in terms of this halacha might not apply on Shabbos if you think that the minhag of Sheol Sham doesn't apply on Shabbos.
But you can't send the invitation. But
okay. But anyway, the point is that in cases like this, where there is a mitzvah to invite the avel to your house, for whatever reason, he's single, therefore would be very lonely if he was eating alone for Shabbos meals, or it's a couple, but there's a reason to invite them. So I think we're makel. But if there's no good reason to be makel, so then better not to invite them. At least that's what I think I heard from my rebbeim in terms of invitations to Avelim. Yeah.
So again, the reason why it was difficult, the extrapolations of the Bachel times, was just because it sounded like the first rebbe was saying because, he's permitted to greet others.
Yes.
But he's not permitted to greet others.
Sure he is. He's only not allowed to greet others during the Shiva.
They're saying it's after Shiva.
After Shiva, yeah. I'm not talking about Shiva. I'm talking about Yud Beis Chodesh.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a huge jump. Everybody agrees he's allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to other people. Sheol Shalom is only Aser Tim.
So
the jump has to be that since this is Kirav Das, so it goes in both directions, right? Something along those lines. But that's a huge jump. In other words, from the Gemara, we have no restrictions from him onto others. So now, to say that Sheol Shalom creates a din in both directions is a very big jump. It's very big chiddush.
So why is Rabbi
and then to extend that to, from manos to invitations is another jump.
That's a different jump. But right. Why is Rabbi assuming, though, that just because he can give greetings, right, which would mean that he would be allowed to extend an invitation, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
Why is we assuming that he can also accept an invitation, which would be similar, perhaps, rather to...
No, I agree. I'm saying, in other words, if I just had the Maril, okay, and then I said the Maril's extended to invitations, so I would say that it's usher for him to accept, it's usher to invite the Avel, but the Avel could invite others. Right? But the Taz is Machmir in both things. A, he extends the Maril from Manos to invitations, and B, he extends the Maril that applies in two directions, not just in one direction. I could understand it, because, okay, we're going to say in all these cases there's Kirv Das. But it's a chiddush, or I would say it's a chiddush al gabi chiddush al gabi chiddush. The whole din of the Maril is a chiddush because the Gemara doesn't say anything about this. And then to extend it from manos to invitations is a chiddush, and then to extend it in both directions is a chiddush.
Right.
So that's what I meant.
When Rebbe said what he was mekabel from his rebbeim to invite the Avo over, there's a need.
And then especially. Especially because usually when you invite people, there's another... Chachmas Sorchem also Shabbos, right?
Shabbos.
This whole din might not apply in Shabbos.
Right. But you also have Yoni's issue that you pointed out that...
Unless you give him Shabbos.
You invite him on Shabbos for the next Shabbos, okay?
No.
Yeah, if you could do that, nach besser.
Right.
Nach besser.
If you don't do that, though... Then you run into the potential issue of, assuming that the Mariel's dean applies at least in one direction, and you apply extended to invitations, which granted is a jump, but that it would be an issue.
It is. That's why you shouldn't do it for no reason. If all things being equal, you should follow the psak of the Taz and the Bach and the like. I'm not ignoring it. What I'm saying is, when it comes up against a significant need to invite people, which is a very important value in mitzvah and the like, so perhaps one should adopt a more lenient view, you know, in light of, you know, the Vaday mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim and Nicham Avelim and the like.
Yeah, we're explaining the Bashan Tazim mitzvah. You're obviously going to run into the issue of the fact that there's no inu devar sof. Like, you can't give an avo hug. Then, like, cubed out. Right?
That's a good question as well. So, I'm not going to say more than they said, but you're correct. In other words, the whole idea of...
Are we sure we're understanding them correctly then?
No, you have a different pshat. I'd love to hear. I fully acknowledge my befuddlement in this whole sugya, and if you have a better shot, I'd love to hear. Okay, all I know is, again, you know, it all starts from the Maril, and the Maril says, "Ein lecha she'el shalom gadol mizeh." So whatever she'el shalom is, clearly it's not using the word shalom. And whatever She'el Shalom is, a more extreme example of She'el Shalom is the gifts and the invitations, right? So what is it that allows us to say, well, this is even more of that?
Where do we see the cubed out as an issue? Where was the first place we saw that?
I think here is the most, again... I don't know what Eino Shar B'Shalom means. We quoted numerous possibilities. But this seems to be the presumption they're making. Now, if you look at Nor Chaim and Tuf Resh Tzadi Vav, so there's a whole discussion over there about Avelos on Purim. There are a number of opinions in the Rishonim. What do you do on Purim? Some say there is no Avelos, some say there is Avelos, there's no Avelos Befarhesia. Obviously, there's Avelos Betzin, it's not going to be worse than Shabbos. But there's no Avelos Befarhesia, that's more or less what Ashkenazim assume, both on Purim and on Shushan Purim. And the like. What about the other mitzvot Sayyom? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Misha Omer, She'avol Chayv L'Shlach Manos. Even though it's quoted as Yesh Misha Omer, that's the accepted halacha. But the halacha is that even though the Avol Chayv L'Shlach Manos, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achronim, Achin, Kol Davar, Simcha Lo Yishaleach. Not exactly sure what that means practically, but it means it should be a more of a subdued, I guess, Shalach Manos. And that's why the minhag is that an Avel only sends Mishloach Manos to one person, even though maybe usually he sends lots of people. And if he's an Avel, so he should just send Mishloach Manos to one person, and if he wants to be Marbe, so he'll be Marbe in Matanos Laniyim. Like the Rambam says anyway, it's better to be Marbe in Matanos Laniyim than to be Marbe in Mishloach Manos. And then the Rambam writes, Aga, Avel ein Sholchan Avel, right, like we saw over here, so you shouldn't send Mishloach Manos to the Avel. So what's the din for Mishloach Manos by an Avel? An Avel should send one to somebody else, and nobody should send him. Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, the Rama says, K'mash Yisbar Shin Pehei, V'm Ein Be'ir El Avel Ech, Im Acher. What if there's only two people, they live in a desert island? So then, of course, Chayv L'Shloch L'Avel, K'dei L'Kayim Mishloach Manos, Elim Kein, Machal Avel Amnas. So if there are two people that live in a desert island, there's only two Jewish people in the city, one of them is an Avel, so he sends you send him in Shai. Now, the post can talk about, is a question that comes up a lot, are you allowed to send to the family of an Avel? Okay? You don't send to the Avel. Let's say... Chaim and Devorah are married. Chaim's an Avel, so are you allowed to send to their family? Or are you allowed to send to Devorah? Are you allowed to send to their kids? Maybe we should say, Masha Kansa Isha Kanabaila. So even if you send to Devorah, you're sending to Chaim, so it doesn't help. That's Aser. So the Pnei Baruch quotes Rav El Yashid as saying, no, it's okay. This isn't a din in Bailus. It's true, Masha Kansa Isha Kanabaila. But it's not a din in Bailus. It's a din in she'ela shalom. So you're not being shol b'shalom the baal, you're shol b'shalom the isha, and therefore it's okay to send Dvorah when Chaim is an Avel, to send Chaim. If Devorah is an Avel, the...
she's a woman.
What?
If she's a woman.
Of course. For Shteitzach. The Chuvos van Hagos says, yeah, but you shouldn't be Marim. He agrees to this Pesach, but you shouldn't be Marim to... like, you really want to send Chaim, but Chaim's an Avel, so you'll send his wife. No! That's inappropriate. Send the family. That's inappropriate. But if you're not Marim, it's okay. If I recall correctly, I'm not sure if this is true, and I'm not sure why, but I seem to remember Rabbi Willig possibly being the fact-based with this Pesach of Rebbe Eliashib. He wasn't so into it. So do you know why? Ishto Kigufo. So since we say Ishto Kigufo Shlachman, we shouldn't do it there.
He's being chalik on the Metzias. I think he's just saying that it's Mimela Haram, and such thing as giving a wife a gift without giving it.
You know, I don't know. We can find out. Puk Chazi, we don't have to guess. Yes. He wasn't, I don't know if he said it wrong, but he wasn't so into it. But okay, we have to find out why. I don't remember. In other words, you can't say shalom. Nobody's going to say that you can't just can't say shalom to a wife if her husband's an avel because he's tokigufo, right? So why shouldn't that? What Rav Yashiv is saying is, so why shouldn't we be able to give him a shalom manos?
You can easily say that betzem anytime you give a present, like the whole mishpacha benefit.
Right? Maybe that's the reason. I mean, I hear. I'm not sure. Okay. Right. So?
That should be,
I mean, mutter because a husband could give his wife shalach manos. So, therefore, you see that we don't say ishto kegufo, and we don't say mashkan sishakana baila, because otherwise you haven't done anything when you give your wife shalach manos. So, once that's true, so then for sure you should be able to give the wife of an avel shalach manos. That's your raya. Okay, here? Good. Fine. So other poskim say, alright, we'll leave it. Fine. Let's go on to Shin Pei Vav. Atifas Harosh B'Avel. So the Gemara says, Antes Vav, Avel's Chayvin Atifas Harosh, because it says, Lo Satel Shafam, and the Gemara later on, in Chavdal and Amud Aleph, says that what type of Atifa do you need? Amr Shmuel, Katifas Yishma'elim. How far down? Amar Rav Nachman, Ad Gubei Dikna. So the Ramban over here talks a little bit about Kotz Rav Haigon, what exactly is Atifas Yishma'elim, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It means, Shiachas HaRosh HaBetalis, O B'Sudr, V'Yachzer Tzaso Alpanav, V'Al Rosh Chotem. So this is perhaps a little more relevant to us when it comes to wearing a talis than when it comes to Dina Avelos, as we'll see in a moment. We're not knowing this way in Avelos. But for putting on a talis, the question is, what's the proper thing? So we say, ideally, it's not a chiv, but ideally one, when putting on a talis and doing a tifa, they should do a tifa Yishma'elim, which is obviously a more complete Atifa, but the problem is we're not exactly sure what this means. And you'll see some people, for example, when they do Atifa Yishma'elim, they'll cover up their whole face. They can't see anything. So it's very unlikely that that's correct, first of all, from the sources over here, but second of all, in general, presumably Atifa Yishma'elim means the way Yishma'elim are misatef. Now, I assume they're not walking around with their kafiyah or whatever, their turbans, totally covering their face.
But do you lose anything?
They could see. Well, it's not what it means. Atif Yishma'elim, if it means covering up your whole face, so that would be a very strange thing. Yishma'elim are walking around with talesim over their face. So what does it mean? So what it seems that we're describing over here is you pull it down a little over your head, and then you take part of the baged, and you wrap it over. So we do it with our right side, over the front, such that it covers our mouth and our face, but our eyes are still visible, right? Like I guess, some type of atifa yishmelim. But it doesn't mean covering over your whole face. And also, probably, you see from the description over here, right, it says, v'yachsok tzaso al piv v'al rosh hachotem. So you cover over your mouth and your nose, at least the bottom part of your nose, but it doesn't mean your eyes. And what you also see from over here is that it probably does not mean the whole baged, but, thank you so much, probably doesn't mean the whole baged, but rather it means the only part of the baged, right? That's what it says. V'yachzir k'tsaso alpiv, right? You take part of the baged and you cover over your mouth. Shmuel mentioned that there's no source at all for covering, taking all four corners of the talus, all four tzitzios, and throwing them over your shoulder, unless you like don't like your neighbor. When I, you know, figure out Neuberger jokes that you know, there's a story in the Gemara about the person who was about to commit an aveira, and it says his tzitzis hit him in the face, and he stopped. So we try to remind our neighbor of this. So we do a tifa, and we hit him with the tzitzis in the face. We're tzaddik. We don't need reminders. But the guy next to you, Mustafa, could use a little reminder. So the point is that it shouldn't be all four, because there's a din, the Rama writes, that you should have Shnaim Lefanav and Shnaim Lacharav. You should still, even while doing Atifa. So that's why it makes sense to do it this way, where you take the right side and you throw that over your face, like the Torah and the Ramban right over here, so that part of your lower face is covered, but not, it says miktsaso, meaning say not the whole talus, but part of the talus. Anyway.
Why don't we still like this called covenant?
If you want to, you can. But there's no din. The din is, it's a din in atifa. It's not a din in lisatef. So when we make the bracha and we use the lashon of lisatef, we try to do a better atifa. That's why the Mishnah Berurah writes, if you're going to use the lashon of lisatef for the bracha on talis katan, you should also better to try to do atifa for talis katan. It's hard to figure out exactly how to do it with the talis katan. I think the minhag is not to. But that's because the minhag is also to say al mitzvah tzitzis for people that don't wear that when they put on the talis katan, they don't say lisatef. But at least it's talis gadol b'shas right after you make the bracha. So then you should do it, and then put it on how you wish.
You're saying you should do the front and the back tzitzis but only the right side.
You take what it says is, again over here is you take mitzvah sabaget and you use it to cover over your mouth and your nose, your lower nose.
For the same
by Hilchos,
right.
Yeah,
that you're supposed to still.
Yeah, that way you still have
Shnayim Lefanav
Shnayim
Lacharav.
Depends how you do it. But yeah. You're saying it's going to be three on one side and one on the other side if you do it this way, if it's already in the back. Yeah. Right? But it's not true, because you put it over, now you fold it over your front. Now all four are in the front, and then you take two, your right side, and you throw it over your face partially. And now two are in the back and two are still in the front. That's what I understood. What? Okay.
Do you mean that your bank has to be covered?
I mean, here it's primarily describing a head covering.
Right. I'm just asking, like, maybe that's why when we were the talis during davening, we go ahead and put on a bag.
Uh-huh. Okay, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, back to Hilchos Avelos. So the Ramban writes, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, "Hani milashar chatifa b'chol yom al kshaboy menachemim etzlo megala rosh luchvodam." So then, luchvod ha menachemim, you should uncover your face. What do we do nowadays? So the Rishonim point out that we don't do it nowadays. Why? Maybe lidei schok gadol menagayim, and the Beis Yosef says, I never heard of such a thing. Lo ra'inu v'lo shamanu misha pater me'atifa mipnei tainazu. And the Rama said, what do you mean? We never heard of anybody being machmir. So probably that relates to the fact that the Beis Yosef lived in Muslim lands where wearing turbans or kafiyas or head coverings of this sort would not have been something that would be nevi lidei schok to such a degree. And Ashkenazim lived in Christian lands where nobody wore these types of head coverings. And it would be maybe L'day Tzchok. I assume that Sfarda nowadays still don't do Atifa anymore, right? Okay, so there we go. At least the Moroccans don't. I don't know, maybe the Taimanim do. Who knows?
Your father wears one, he said?
No, he didn't.
You're Moroccan?
I am. Okay. Now, the question is, what exactly is the heter? Right? Just because they laugh at us. So the Tiferes Yisrael says it's because of like an extended kavod abrios. Right? In other words, kavod abrios, not to make a fool of yourself. But we mentioned from Rav Sobolovsky, and I subsequently saw that the Ritva on Chaf Beis on the base more or less says the Svara. The Ritva is talking about by Chalitza's Katef, but perhaps it could be extended here as well, which is that this is a stira to the mood of Avelos, because it feels like Purim, not Avelos, and therefore we don't do these halachas. However, it seems like this halacha would be totally gone, except the Rokeach, quoted by the Shach, says no, you should tip your hat down, wear it low, not like Yeshiva Bachram that wear their hat all the way back, you should tip it down low, to partially cover the eyes, kol shiva. Now, and every so often you'll go to a Beis Avel and you'll see them following the Shach. You'll see them sitting there with their hat way down low. So it's very strange because we already saw that the Ramban said that even when they did Atifas Arosh properly, when the Menachemim would come, they would uncover their face, right? And here, they're wearing their heads down low. Dafka, when the Menachemim come? So the Birka Yosef already makes that hard. I don't know what to do with it. Fine. Okay. Shin Pei Zion is Kfias Hamita. So, lunch is here. I don't want to keep you. So, why don't we say like this? We'll pick up again. Does anybody mind having shir again? You could say no. Say yes, I mean.
Do you want to just go by turn?
Does anybody want to go by turn now? What do you want to move for? I don't want to... Who wishes to continue now? Raise your hands. Okay. So you're outvoted. So we're definitely going to stop now for lunch. Who wishes to, we'll say, 4 o'clock to 4:30 do Shin Pei Zion? Raise your hands.
Or with other option.
To wait till tomorrow to do Shin Pei Zion.
What? 4 o'clock to 4:30.
Okay, fine. Shin Pei Zion, the Iker we're going to spend most of the time on, is not Kfiyas Hamita B'Yameihem. We'll do that a little bit. But the Iker Nekuda is to try to figure out and justify the practice that we have nowadays. If everyone didn't do that, they should look into this. You should all look up besides all the Rishonim that are cited, you should look at the Aruch HaShulchan, you should look at the Panim Iros that's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, look it up inside. It's also quoted by the Birkei Yosef. And some of the other sources. Also we'll talk a little bit once we're at it about covering mirrors, which comes up here as well. So if you want a more extensive treatment of that custom, take a look at Yabia Omer Chelek Dalet and Yordeas and Lamed Hay. Okay? I don't think it should take. Should be able to do it in a half hour less. What? No. There's earlier sources, but he quotes everything. So if you want to save time, do the Yabia Omer.